So the gospel reading began with these words. Now all the tax collectors and sinners are coming to listen to Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes, they were all grumbling and saying, these were the religious leaders of the day. They're moaning and groaning. This fellow here eats with sinners. He even healed on the Sabbath. Well, that is the frame for all that follows in Luke chapter 15. But the story of the sheep is very interesting. The story of a widow and her coins that she lost. And of course, the man and his two sons, as we know as the prodigal son. It's important to remember that the situation which prompted Jesus to tell all these stories, that then ask, whom do we identify in these situations? As well as the story that Jesus tells. Do you see yourself sometimes in the stories, or do you see somebody that you know? How do you identify with what we call the parables? We do that kind of thing when we read a novel or watch a movie to identify with somebody that's in the movie. I like the old-time movies when the good guys always win at the end, but not so much anymore. But there's still a lot of good movies out there. They tell me The Overcomer is a good Christian movie for somebody that likes to see that. Or you can identify with the young lady that's in that movie, how she overcame. So in a group or all the different things, we can identify with the reading of the gospel today. With Jesus, he's the good guy who tries to straighten things out of the religious folks, who calls in the question of all that they believe, who reaches out and loves everyone, especially the most unloved. I was very unloved a lot of times in my life, and God still loved me. God still helped me to come into a love relationship with him. And we all, even today, I become unlovable sometimes. Judy has to keep me straight and keep me accountable when I get to be unlovable. She helps nurture me back into the fold. But with the Pharisees and the religious leaders, the ones who rightly saw the dangers of being too close to an association. I was telling Judy on the way over here this morning, my mom used to say, Butchie, that was my nickname, you're running around with the wrong crowd. That Johnny Kaufman is no good for you. He's going to get you in trouble. I do not want you to run around with him. Well, I did anyhow. Johnny is one of my best friends, and yeah, he led me into some things, but wasn't his fault. I did them. But sometimes running around with the wrong crowd, Mama always knows best. She might not do the things to be certain, but Mama's wisdom is always good. For what a parent has not to worry about, your child falling in with the wrong crowd. But so convinced that they and they alone were the only right ones. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were right. Everybody else was wrong. With the tax collectors and the sinners, those traitors, tax collectors of the day actually weren't like we think of tax collectors, working for the good of the taxes they collect for the things that we enjoy in the community. These tax collectors worked for the Romans. And what they were allowed to do is they can get all the taxes that they want. Rome made a deal with them. You can get all the taxes you want, but you've got to pay a certain amount to Rome. Everything over that is yours to keep, which led them into some real challenging things. So with the sinners, the people of the land who never attended church or synagogue seemed to lack even the basics of morality. With the shepherd who lost a sheep, or the poor widow who lost a coin, with the 99 sheep or the 99 bottles on the shelf. No, that's the wrong sign. 99 sheep who were okay. Or was the one who was lost? With the coins snug into the widow's purse. Or the one that was lost between the crack in the floor. It's interesting, and I'm sure that all of us have an answer. That is, those who identify with one another. And yet, it can be a bit of a problem. Sometimes the things or people that we identify with can blind us to the fact that we are also like somebody else in this story. Maybe someone we don't like so well. Or maybe we are equally blinded to the fact that we are more like someone who is really likable in the story. But our way of identification can blind us to who we are and who we could be, to where we are and where we could be at. There was a school teacher who had told a story. For a couple of reasons, she just thought this story was good, and she shared it with other teachers, and it dwindled down to me where I heard this story. And one day she said, "I asked the kids, if all the bad children were painted red and the good children were painted green, what color would you be?" Think about that. What color would you be? Red or green? It's a tough question. One of those very bright students in class said, "Teacher, I'd be striped." And I think about that, especially in our culture now with the multiracial children and so forth. You wonder how they feel being striped, basically. Not red, not green, striped. We love them all, and God loves them all. And I'm so glad for this church to reach out to the young people that you see here this morning. From all different stripes they come. The reason I'm going on about this point is very simple. It seems to me that in the frame of the story, everyone but Jesus is striped. It's the same in our world today. We are here in some sense, but we're not completely complete. It is hard language, and this language of the lost and the found, especially for folks who are in the middle, and most of us are there in the middle most of the time in our life. And sometimes life just seems to be too absolute. Rarely are we completely lost. And rarely are we completely found. And there's always a part of us that's dragged or cajoled into the light. And there is always a part of us that is already there in the light. For some of us and more, some of us less, but always we are some part of that. We are in the light, and sometimes we're in the darkness. But it's so good to be in the light. I think the wonderful thing is that God wants us to enter fully into the light of His grace. The most wonderful thing that God wants to bless us and richly keep us safe. To make us strong. To help us like a shepherd who really cares for his sheep. Or like the poor widow who really values all of her coins. The wonderful thing is that part is so valuable to all of us. And it's valuable to God as that found part, that God does not want any of us or any part of us to be lost or to be ignored or be neglected. God wants to bless all of us. And God rejoices over one of us or a part of us that is found. I like what the Bible says, that the angels in heaven rejoice when one sinner comes to know Christ. So clearly Christ wants us to understand something important about God. The God values that seek out for everyone, even the most likely persons. That God calls and wants us to embrace everyone, even those who would not. Or the ones that are unlovable. That God rejoices when those who lost their way are found. That's what makes the gospel message so powerful and so good. That we can reach out to all the other different religions and to share that love and to help them understand that we serve a God of love who gives us a promise of eternal life, only religion in the world that promises eternal life because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of God Himself. And with that promise of Him coming again someday, Jesus wants us to identify both with the shepherd and the poor widow in their sorrow and in their joy, to understand that each of us are valued. No matter what our color is or how many stripes we have, we are all valued. The 99 and the one, the coins in the purse and the one under the floor that went through the crack, the son at home and the son that wanders. Without all, we are incomplete. Without God in the heart, we are incomplete. So when we are found, there's much joy. The joy of the widow who finds her precious coins. The joy of the shepherd who finds his precious sheep. Rejoice in your value. You are valuable to God. Rejoice in it. Let the shepherd gather you in. Rejoice in your worth. Let the widow find you. And be like the shepherd. Be like the widow. Seek, look, and find of every stripe. Rejoice when they come and their pain and sorrow is relieved. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Any of you remember Irma Bombeck? Huh? She used to write a lot of piffy stuff. She was really a neat lady. In one of her books, she describes a visit one time when she went to church. And this is the story she tells. She said, I being Irma, was intent on a small child who was turning around, smiling at everyone in church. He wasn't gurgling. He wasn't spitting. He wasn't humming. He wasn't kicking. He wasn't tearing the pages out of the hymnal or rummaging through his mother's purse. He was just smiling. Finally, his mother jerked him about in a stage of a whisper that could be heard all the way to Broadway, probably. Stop gritting. You're in church. With that, she gave him a belt on his hind pinion, and tears started rolling down his cheeks. And she said, that's better, and went back to her prayer, her silent prayer. Now, indeed, there are lost, and there are found, and there are parts of us that are in the light, and parts of us, as I said, are in the dark. But she went on to add this story. She said, I wanted to grab this child with the tear-stained face close to me and tell him about my God, the happy God, the smiling God, the God who has a sense of humor to create the likes of us. I like to say that Irma was very instinctive. She had a God-like instinct and an instinct for gathering and for loving. God loves you. God looks at you. And he looks for you. God wants to ease your pains. God wants to make you whole if you will allow him. Listen to his voice. Follow him when he calls you. And do as he asks. And then you'll discover wonderful parts of your life that you never knew existed, that was even there. What's the saying in the Psalms? Be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes we are just too busy to hear God's voice. And it doesn't matter if you got stripes or you're a solid color. You can be made whole and well. Allow him to seek and look and find and rejoice over others. And this place, this little church called Bethel, is the kind of place that I find that people have that joy. Because most of all of us are sinners saved by grace. Not a perfect church, not a perfect place, but a place of healing and wholeness. And a place where people are full of joy. Sometimes our faces don't show it. Sometimes we put on the Christian faith and we pretend to be happy when we're really struggling with something deep down inside. But the good news about church, about fellowship, about people, that we can reach out and somebody say, how are you doing? I ain't doing worth a toot. Rather than say, oh, I'm fine, and you know what you really, and you need help. We are called to help one another. It says in the book of Ecclesiastes that two are better than one. When one's hurt and the other one's there to help and pick you up and lift you up. So church is a special place because of the special people that are in the church. God is known in this church, and I know that God is known in a lot of your lives because I've witnessed it, but a special place with special people. Blessed be to God Almighty, day by day, in the precious name of Christ. Amen.